Hi, I'm Tom Castaldi on the Heritage Trail, inviting you to join with me on an audio walk through Fort Wayne's history. At our stop today, an older marker tells of a bygone era. This marker reads, "Past this point flowed the Wabash and Erie Canal, begun at Fort Wayne in 1832 and dedicated at Fort Wayne July 4, 1843. In its final phase, the canal ran from Maumee Bay on Lake Erie through Fort Wayne and southwestward to Lafayette and thence to the Ohio River. It was abandoned in 1874, and its path through Fort Wayne sold in 1881 to the Nickel Plate Railroad for its roadbed. The last boat was seen on the canal in 1882. The Wabash and Erie Canal was the longest canal project undertaken in the United States, and when completed, was the second longest canal in the world after the Grand Canal in China. Although the Wabash and Erie got caught up in the state's internal improvement movement, and became a part of the financial disaster that followed, the canal project successfully opened up extensive portions of the pioneer state of Indiana and was one of the principal reasons for the survival of the town of Fort Wayne. Without the transportation of people and goods made possible by the canal, swamp-bound Fort Wayne might well have never enjoyed the industrial growth that was its hallmark in the later 19th century. The groundbreaking for the Wabash and Erie Canal took place in Fort Wayne. Because it was the highest point on the canal route, the town earned its first nickname, Summit City, a term suggested by local newspaper editor John Dawson in 1853. To begin the project, a feeder canal to supply water was constructed along a 6-mile stretch of the St. Joseph River to connect with the main channel at the present-day Nebraska neighborhood on Fort Wayne's west side. Work on the main canal was a huge undertaking. Extraordinary labor was required to dig a ditch averaging 40 feet wide and 4 feet deep with several feeder canals and well-constructed locks for raising and lowering the boats to different levels of the canal path. Gangs of as many as 1,000 men were divided into section groups that cleared the trees, pulled the stumps, dug the ditch, constructed the towpath, and built the locks and aqueducts. They slowly chewed their way through the swamp and forest wilderness of Ohio and Indiana. Work was grueling and deadly. Accidents and disease were intense and claimed incalculable numbers of lives along the 468 miles of canal from Toledo to Evansville. The jigger boss worked the lines of laborers who were mostly Irish and German immigrants. They were paid less than a dollar a day and were provided with barrels of whiskey, and at the time was said that it was necessary to ward off fever and protect from snake bite. It was up to the workers how many jiggers of whiskey they consumed. One news reporter replied when someone raised objections to the role of the jigger boss, "You wouldn't expect them to work on the canal if they were sober, would you?" The canal made Fort Wayne a boom town as warehouses, depots, saloons, and scores of canal boat-related businesses crowded the docks in the area today marked by the Landing. Before the canal line was sold in 1876, Fort Wayne was noted for its canal boat turnaround basins, its locks, mills, warehouses, bridges, and the aqueduct that carried the main canal waters over the St. Mary's River on the west end. The canal has all but disappeared from the landscape, but its legacy lives on. This is Tom Castaldi inviting you to join with us to learn more about our region's legacies next time on the Heritage Trail.